Well, children make Christmas absolutely wonderful, don't they? They're overflowing joy, and we're going to get to experience that at the end of the service. We have not so sure how many little kids are going to be here, but our teens are going to come and share their overflowing Christmas joy with us at the end of the service. But kids' Christmas pageants, I mean, there's so many stories of kids' pageants at Christmas time. And, you know, they can tell the story only in their own childlike, you know, joy-filled wonder, can't they? I mean, they always get the story right. Every time they tell it, no matter what it is, they're right. They're right. And so on this fourth Sunday of Advent, with the theme being joy, I wanted to share a wonderful children's pageant story with you. And it's a group of fifth graders were at a large church, and they were assigned to do the Christmas pageant that year. And so, you know, a fifth grader's version of the Christmas story. And they were told that as long as they kept within certain guidelines, that they could tell the story in their own way. So this is how they told it. They had the scene all set up. They had bales of hay. They had angels on one side and shepherds on the other side. And as the congregation was looking at the platform, they noticed that there was Joseph and there was a manger, but there was no Mary and no baby Jesus. And just about that time, they started hearing a fifth grade girl's version of labor. Coming from behind the scenery. So this kind of went on for a while. Now we know that men wrote the Bible because this part was written out. But the fifth grade girl is wailing and moaning, and from the back of the auditorium, though, another fifth grade girl walks in, and she's dressed as a doctor. She's wearing a white jacket, stethoscope around her neck. I mean, only fifth graders could tell this. Fifth grade, stethoscope and glasses on, and she walks down the middle of the aisle, goes right onto the platform, goes over to Joseph, and she goes, there, Joseph, calm down, just relax, everything's going to be just fine, just wait. And then she goes back behind the scenery. And then you hear, and I'm not going to demonstrate, the full birth goes on for a while. And when she stops wailing and moaning and groaning, there's total silence. And then after a few minutes, the doctor comes out carrying a baby doll wrapped in a baby's blanket. Mary's walking behind her. And the doctor goes right up to Joseph and goes, "Congratulations, Joseph. It's a God." That's the story, isn't it? I mean, only told as an 11-year-olds could tell it, but that's the story. It's a God. I mean, every child is born a God child. Every child is born a holy child that carries that divine potential within them. That's the story we tell every single Christmas. Every Christmas. And why we go through Advent is a time to prepare ourselves to hear this divine love story, this Christmas story, again and again and again. Because maybe, just maybe, this time we will remember. And so that's why we go through this period of Advent, preparing ourselves. Our first Sunday was hope. You know, Charles Fillmore said that the most important quote in the entire script, the most important part of Scripture is found in the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ presence within me, my hope of glory. The divine presence within you, your hope of glory. There's a God in me and there's a God in you. Something wonderful is happening. And then we went on to peace, our second week of Advent, represented by those angels, those messengers from God, as just as the shepherds are guided to the Christ child by the angels. If we get quiet enough and we get still enough, we too will be guided to that peace that is already within us. And then love. Last week we celebrated love, which is represented by the baby Jesus himself, that boundless, unconditional love, reminding us that we are precious, that we are whole, that we are beloved, that there is a Christ child within each one of us, calling us to greater and greater love. And now we're here this week. Joy. We're celebrating joy. What a great way to end. That joy that is within. And it is destined that we birth this Christ self, this divine self of us, and to live as awakened, Christed beings. And just as the children in the opening story so joyfully share that when this birth happens, you can shout out too, "It's a God! It's a God!" Within you, there is this divine presence just waiting, waiting to be birthed. And truly, it is a God that lives within you. And what greater joy is there to know that there is this holy presence, this divine God seed, this divine essence within us just waiting to be birthed. And so joy is represented by a star, that brilliant light of the Bethlehem star, which represents metaphysically our own inner illumination. And so just as the star guides the wise men to the Christ child, our own inner illumination guides us to the place within where the Christ is born in the manger of our heart. Years ago, there was a movie out called The Notebook. It was in, I think, 2004. How many of you saw that? James Garner and Gena Rowland. I mean, it was a great, great film. And it was about an older man who would read every day to this woman who had dementia in the nursing home. And he would read from this journal. And it was an amazing love story. And as he read from this journal, there were kind of present moment, and then it would flash back, and it would kind of go back and forth to the present moment of this man reading to this woman, and going back to the flashback of these two young adults falling in love with each other. And there's a moment towards the end of the film when, just for a few moments, this woman's dementia diminishes. And in that moment, she remembers that she's that woman. And she's the one who's been cherished and loved all these many, many years. And the end of the film opens, has this the journal being opened, and we discover it was written by her before her dementia set in. And what she wrote in the front of the book was, "Read this to me, and I will remember. Read this to me, and I will remember." That's why we tell the Christmas story over and over and over and over and over again. You know, the read it to me, the baby born in Bethlehem, read it to me, the wise men leading, you know, being led by a star to the Christ child, read it to me, the angel singing with great joy, read it to me. And sooner or later, the soul remembers, this is my story. This is about me. This is the truth about me. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's a call to remember. It's Christianity's version of the great wake-up call. Wake up! It's a joy-filled, beautiful life. Wake up to the love that created you. Wake up. Live this life now. Don't wait. You are the one. You're the one. Remember. And that's what I love about Christmas. Especially in the moment I realized, and I really got that this is my life. This is about me. Christmas is your story. You know, it's nice to read it as the story of Jesus being born. Yes, and we celebrate that. Yes. But more importantly, it's about you. You know, the Bible is the story of our unfolding consciousness, and the Christmas story, it's just part of who we are. And we tell the Christmas story again and again, this beautiful incredible story. A holy child is born. Now, Jesus was born into a culture that they were expecting his arrival. They were expecting the arrival of a Messiah. And so every male child that was born, they would say, oh, is this the one? You know, is this the miracle worker? Is this the one to be called Prince of Peace? You know, there was tremendous expectation. Is this the one? And so Jesus was not only born with this great potential, infinite potential within him, he was actually born into a family who believed it about him. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I would imagine that there's not too many of us who were born into a family that said, ah, it's a God child. You know, it's whole, precious, divine. This is the one filled with infinite potential. There's no limit on this one. And because many of us didn't have that kind of experience, we have to relearn it. You know, and we have to go back and we have to kind of, you know, again, tell ourselves the story, because we were born into this culture of separation and duality. And so the Christmas story, it reminds us of our divine identity. It's like a God seed that's kind of planted in us, that if you hear it not just as a history of a people, but if you hear it as a story of your unfolding consciousness, then Christmas will begin to light up within you. And as you shine the love, as you shine the light that is within you, then you'll realize that Christmas doesn't just happen one time a year. But Christmas can happen anytime you create an opening for it. Anytime you create an opening for more love, for more peace, for more joy, for more love. Now, I don't know about you, but I sometimes have some people that kind of irritate me, get under my skin. Does that ever happen to you? Especially this Christmas season, you know, there's people who cut you off in traffic and shove and whatnot in stores, and you know, it's a stressful time of year. And so whenever I get into those moments when I'm just feeling a little angry or irritated at someone, I kind of step back and go, wow, God, something's wrong here. And the exercise that I like to do that I want to share with you today, because I always like to give you a little bit of homework, and especially those of you who are working on this 7-day mental diet, this will help. This will help. That when you get that little feeling that somebody just kind of, you know, it's like chalk on a blackboard, you know, they just kind of are irritating you, put their names on a piece of paper. Just write their names down. And then what I do is I say, okay, God, I want to love them, I want to forgive them, and I want to see them as you see them. Yeah. And so I have to take a step back, take a deep breath, and I start trying to see them as God sees them. Well, the first time I try this, it never matches my story, right? God doesn't see any of the things I see and doesn't see any of the little faults that I'm aware of. So then I have to take another deep breath, have to take another step back, because I say, I really want to see these people as you see them. And I realize what I need to do is I need to really praise them. I need to see them in a positive way. I need to just love them, just send them love, send them love, send them love. And after a while, what happens is I begin to feel joy bubbling up. And so I invite you to try that when you're, you know, there may be some family gatherings with people you're not that excited about being with. Use this. That'll help. Even before you go into those settings, write their names down on a piece of paper and just say, God, I want to love them. I want to forgive them. I want to see them as you see them. And then just start sending them love, sending them, you know, just praise them and love them and see them in a positive way. And you'll be amazed. Joy will start overflowing. In The Five Wishes, this little book that I've been talking about throughout this Advent season by Gay Hendricks, great book. He was at a party one night and a complete stranger asked him, you know, if you were on your deathbed and I were to ask you if your life was successful, what would you say? And Gay couldn't say it was successful. So then he went on a search for the five things that would make his life successful. And one of his fifth wish that he writes about in the book is, my life is a success because I savor every moment of it along the way. Isn't that wonderful? My life is a success because I savor every single moment of it along the way. And he writes, I feel the spiritual consequences of hurrying through life. I was beginning to understand why the world's spiritual traditions stress the value of being in the moment, celebrating the present, and living in the now. The magic of life happened in the now. The present was where the holy moments of life occurred. I learned to take it easy, even as life sped up. Learning to savor the moments of life is an ongoing process. Do you agree with that? Savoring the moments of life is an ongoing process. So as you savor every moment of life, as you love everybody, this Christmas story will become real for you, and the holy presence will make itself known to you so that you can live as it, so that you can live moment by moment by moment as hope, as peace, as love, and as joy, the true wishes, the true gifts of Christmas. Each one of us carries within us this divine potential that is ready to give birth to the holy child. Jesus, this baby born over 2,000 years ago, I believe is calling each one of us today to be the Christ. Don't just worship the Christ, be it. Be it. Start living as that divine presence. And if this is the greatest Christmas gift that we can give to ourselves, and it's the greatest Christmas gift you can give to each other, is to see, is to behold the Christ in each other, to see this divine presence, this holy essence within each other. That is overflowing joy. And so my wish for you is that you have a fabulous, fantastic, wonderful, and the very happiest and Merry Christmas ever. I know Bill and I will. So God bless you. Merry Christmas.